All right, everybody, I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the March 18, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner, and my job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include the two conditional use permits we have on for today, as well as the riparian variance. I consider any testimony presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. I appreciate you all observing space limitations with each other. We'll try to get through this hearing as quickly as possible to reduce everybody's exposure to everybody. This process does have certain rules, though, and I do try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure that we're going to use. For each item, staff will present their report and make whatever recommendations they wish to make. Then the applicant or the applicant's representative is given an opportunity to present testimony and evidence. The applicant does have the burden of proof to show compliance with all of the applicable laws and regulations. If somebody from the public comes in and wishes to testify in favor or against a project, I'll give them that opportunity to do so. And if you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, you may do so. If you do testify, I'll have you come on over here to this table. You can use your feet to back up, or you can grab the chair if you're daring enough. And I'm going to put you under oath, and then I will ask you the following questions. I've reviewed everything, quite frankly, several times. I'm very familiar with the projects. I don't have questions that I can think of regarding the projects right now. I may, but I will ask you to state your name and address. I will ask you if you're the property owner or the agent of the owner and the applicant, and you're authorized to be here today. And then I will just leave a wide open question that says, what do you want to tell me about this project? And then I will ask you if you've reviewed the proposed conditions of approval, and if you have any objection to those. Those are my standard questions. So you can be prepared, and we can move through this today as quickly as possible. I have the option to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted on any of these matters, but in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. There is an attendance roster near the entry of the hearing room. If you haven't signed in yet, you can do so on your way out by coming and testifying at today's hearing. You may obtain important legal rights, so it's important that we're able to document your presence here today. If you do have any cell phones, would you please either turn them off or put them into silent mode at this time as a courtesy to everybody else who took time out of their day to come to the hearing today. Now, except as provided in the code regarding requests for reconsideration and request to reopen the hearing, my decision on each of these matters will be final and conclusive. The only exception is that they can be appealed. Appeals on these matters are heard by what's called a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of the decision. And if your appeal isn't timely filed, your appeal would be barred. The bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you should seek immediate legal advice. I've reviewed each item on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I will be able to fairly and objectively consider each item on today's agenda, and outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the attachments to the staff reports, including all the application materials, all the agency comments that have come through, I don't believe we've had any public comments on the matters. There are site plan drawings, there's expert witness reports. Other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file of record, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner, if you do, you need to come forward and state so at this time. Just a coincidence that you stood up, Mr. Lott, at that time? All right, hearing none, we will turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit. Given application number CUP 2019-015. This is an application that has been submitted by Keen and Jillian Christensen for an RV park and an agritourism UPIC operation and other improvements within the property to be located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, I will admit into the record at this time, by this reference, the staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all of those application materials, all of the noticing documents that have come through. There are agency comments that have been submitted. Public comment on this matter by Mr. Young. There are site plan drawings and SEPA documents. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and turn this matter over to Ms. Morgan for the staff presentation.
Thank you. I am Emily Morgan, the project planner for the proposed conditional use permit. The applicant is proposing the use of a 168-acre parcel as an RV park with an agritourism element to include a U-pick operation of apples, berries, and pumpkins. Said use of agritourism is permitted outright in the zoning district and does not require review under Chelan County Zoning Code. However, if the use is to expand beyond the proposed U-pick operation, additional land use permits may be required. Pursuant to Chelan County Code Section 1193.330, parking standards for the RV park require a total of 15 parking spaces. Although the U-Pick operation is a permitted use and does not require zoning review, staff is recommending an additional 5 parking spaces be allocated in order to ensure adequate parking is accessible for the separate businesses. The separate property is currently landscaped with mature trees and vegetation. Being as the parcel is large in size and is surrounded by agricultural activities, undeveloped hillside, and sprawled residential development, the requirement of landscaping is recommended to be waived. However, due to the existing orchard to the south of the subject property, staff is recommending that a fence or private property signs be placed in order to alleviate the potential of trespassing on the adjacent orchard property. Now, staff just did have one additional condition of approval to recommend, and that is the supplement condition of approval number 10, so it'd be 10.6. And that is to provide with the letter of compliance at an approval letter from Department of Health for the proposed public water system. Other than that, staff has reviewed the application in compliance with all applicable county code and therefore recommends approval as conditioned.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed? We'll have one of you come up. As I said, I will first have you state your name and address for me.
Yeah, so Keen Christensen, address is 329 Road 11, Southeast Othello, Washington, 93344.
All right, Mr. Christensen, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
And Mr. Christensen, are you here on behalf of the property owner and agent and authorized to appear and speak on their, or the property owner and applicant and authorized to appear and speak on their behalf?
Yeah, we are owners.
Okay, you are the property owners. Okay. And what would you like to tell me about this project?
As far as all the requirements, we have Torrance Engineering that's going to help us develop the water system. It was a little confused on some of the paperwork is associated with the irrigation system providing water or the reclamation district providing water, but we have our own well and it will be classified as a Class A TNC well with the help of John Torrance's group, and Michelle will be helping us. The geology studies have been done. I know there were some other inputs from other groups on the studies, but they don't seem to be ready to.
We feel like we can comply with
them. Yeah, we can easily comply with it. There's, I don't know where we address other issues such as like the fire suppression systems as far as what the fire district is asking for. Because there is irrigation during the time that we plan on having our U-Pick in the during the summer season. According to Michelle, we don't, as of right now, we don't need any extra storage for water. We may still put in extra, like as far as use for the RVs, she says our pump is sufficient and everything for water purposes. So it's another step to go up to a tank and reservoir and things like that. Which like, but yeah, we have the irrigation during that time. So there's some things to look at with the fire district and fire commissioner. don't know if that's where we address here.
No, you'll end up addressing that with them as you're going along. Have you had a chance to look at all of the proposed conditions of approval that are in the staff report?
Yes.
And do you have any objection to those that were in the staff report or the one that was just proposed by staff at this time?
No, we have a...
So, there was one...
If you're going to testify, you got to come up, state your name, put you under oath. We got to go through the whole drill.
Okay. I guess I was reminding him, but happy to do it.
Your name and address, please.
Jill Christensen. And 329 Route 11 Southeast of Bella, Washington, 99344.
All right, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Now, what did you want to say?
Sure. There was one public comment from the geological organization that we feel is unnecessary. They wanted to do an archaeological survey of the property, and we feel that's unnecessary because the land has been used for the last 100 years. There's been orchard in the same area, and we're not digging. There'll be some grading, and that would be the extent of our excavation.
Yeah, proposed condition of approval number 11 was that prior to ground disturbing activities, you will consult with the State Department of Archaeology, and that staff will need some sort of letter of compliance, or that you no longer need to apply, or you no longer need to satisfy this condition in order to move forward. You're objecting to that condition of approval?
I guess. We just received the write-up, and they were recommending an archaeological survey of some sort, and we just feel like it's unnecessary.
Okay.
And staff can provide clarification on that. That's kind of where that 11.1, the sub note, comes from, that it just does provide flexibility to have a conversation with Department of Archaeological Historic Preservation, and you can explain kind of your circumstances, and they may waive that requirement. So as long as you give us a letter that DAP says we don't need a survey, that's sufficient.
Okay.
And they're willing to
give that to you.
Yeah, so that would come in with that letter of compliance.
Okay. And then as far as the fence to the south property, so there's a chunk of that orchard that will be part of the U-Pick operation, and so you're just proposing a fence beyond that.
What's staff's position on the fence?
The U-Pick wasn't clearly more to demonstrate where the whole private property is, that we don't have people just randomly watch your property that's not yours.
There actually is a fence already there.
All right, anything else you'd like to add?
I think the rest of it, we can comply with all of that and feel there's nothing outside of the ordinary.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming in. I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
All right. Did any member of the public come to talk on this matter? Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further. Thank you.
All right. Mr. and Mrs. Christensen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the record at this time. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. I will do my best to get it out by the end of this week. So you, but I don't see any problems with this one, just to let you know.
Are we free to go?
Yes, you can go. All right, second item on today's agenda is also a conditional use permit. This is an application 2019-014, which is an application that had been submitted by Alan and Liz Sanders for the construction of a garage in connection with a dwelling unit, but the dwelling unit is not going to be constructed right now. It'll be built in the future, and there will be a accessory dwelling unit within the garage unit. This is located within the City of Chelan urban growth area within Chelan County on property that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, we will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which include all of those application materials, all of the agency comments that have come through, there's noticing documents, there's site plan drawings. I'm going to admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
All right, so I'm Alex White, the planner in charge of this conditional use permit application. So just to clarify for this conditional use permit, it's an application for construction of a garage with an attached dwelling unit. And then in the future, they would be building a separate house and convert the dwelling unit that's attached to the garage into an ADU.
Got it, okay.
The application or the subject property is 6 acres in size. It's currently undeveloped and it's within the single family residential zoning district of the city of Chelan, UGA. So the city of Chelan code would apply to this project. Access to the subject property is from easement off of Miller Road. All water will be provided by the city of Chelan, and the residents will utilize a septic system on site. I've reviewed the application materials and the comments from the agencies, and they're consistent with the applicable codes. And as conditioned, I recommend approval of the CUP.
Thank you very much. Again, I have reviewed everything several times, so I don't have any questions for staff. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
No, we have no questions.
I have some.
Okay.
So somebody needs to come up, state your name and address. I'm going to put you under oath, and they're not difficult questions. They're the same ones that I said I'm going to ask you at the beginning of the hearing.
Yep, Alan Sanders, 615 Pierre Street, Wenatchee.
All right, Mr. Sanders, raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And you are the property owner and applicant in this matter?
I am.
And what would you like to tell me about this project, if anything?
I think Alex pretty much covered it. We kind of have the same question as the previous people that were up here, is pretty much on the archaeology study.
So for that, we're, even though the tribes did request a building permit, or they requested a study be done. I've conditioned it so that typically for residential building permits, we do not require an archaeological study. And so these components would be classified under a building permit. Like going forward, it'll be a building permit application for your garage with a dwelling unit. And so we just had a condition saying that if anything was found during construction, that construction would cease and that you would contact any applicable, or you know, the tribe or the state. So
yeah, I did see that on item 4, but on the agencies notified, it was listed in there to pertain a survey.
So what this is, I really don't want to have a lot of back and forth, so it's time for you to provide testimony, but my reading of the staff report is that the staff report is just telling you what agencies have recommended, and then staff has prepared their report and made their own recommendation of conditions. Ultimately, it's up to me to decide what conditions of approval to set. So it's not Mr. White's decision. He just makes a recommendation. It is my decision. And so if you have any information about why you don't think an archaeological study should be ordered, then that would be interesting to hear. But
yeah, I would like to comment on that. The property, the previous owners of the property have did some excavation work as far as flatting, making the property flat, and it's fully irrigated. So they've done quite a bit of trenching for the irrigation. So there's been some excavating work from the previous owners. And I guess that's why we were a little surprised to see that.
And you're going
to
be doing your construction on that same area where the previous excavation has been done?
Yeah, I have to remove some of the irrigation lines,
Okay. All right. There were just 4 proposed conditions of approval. Have you reviewed those, and do you have any objection with any of those?
I have reviewed them, and no objections.
All right. You realize that when it's not a condition here, but I'll just tell you, when you do get a building permit and you build your new house, you'll have to get a new permit for the dwelling unit at the garage, just so you're aware of that. Yeah, and you got to get that from here, or if it's annexed into the Chelan, then you got to go deal with the city of Chelan.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add about the project?
No.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further, thank you.
All right, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have a written decision again within the next 10 working days, and you'll be given notice of that decision. And once again, I'll try to get it out by the end of this week if possible. The last item on today, and you can go if you'd like, the last item on today's agenda is the riparian variance matter. This is given application RIPV 2018-383. This is an application, or actually has been remanded back to the hearing examiner from Chelan County Superior Court regarding an application submitted by Aaron and Rachel Hansen for this riparian variance that was originally denied by the hearing examiner. It went up to appeal, and the Superior Court remanded this back to the hearing examiner for additional findings and considerations on this matter. So we're basically we've done a lot on this matter, but we're back to essentially we still have to make a decision on this. So with that, I'm going to admit into the record the entire planning staff file that was submitted on this record originally, and the all of the remand materials that came to me, which would include all of the filings from the Superior Court proceeding. There is new materials from staff regarding new recommendations from staff on this matter. But the bottom line is I'm going to admit into the record the entire staff file on this matter, and turn this matter over to Ms. Larson for the staff presentation.
Thank you. Kirsten Larson, planning manager. So as you stated, this was remanded back to you by Judge Allen.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Was the attorney for the appellant, did he want to be present?
He is not able to be present.
Are you Mr. Hitchcock? I don't know.
No, I'm Mr. Hansen.
Oh, okay.
I can speak to that point, but it's not like
this. I understood that he may want to be here by telephone, and I didn't know if we were supposed to call him or what.
I was going to let the applicant call him when he comes up, if that's certain.
Okay, well, if the applicant wants their attorney to hear what staff is saying, then you might want to get him on the phone and put the phone next to this microphone up here in case he has anything that he wants to say. We'll have it there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey Matt, it's Aaron. Kirsten's about to start her staff report. I'm going to put you on speakerphone so you can listen to the whole thing. I'm muting him at this point so that. There we go.
So we can't hear him?
No.
But he can hear us?
Yeah. Matt, can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes, loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Great. All right, so will staff present their report at this time.
Yes, thank you. So the judge asked that the hearing examiner basically relook at this matter, and specifically Chelan County Code sections 1195.030(1A)-1E. And then also additionally that the buffer reduction should be considered from 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark instead of the 150 feet. And staff from community development met with the applicant on March 3rd and had the site plan revised to show the setbacks from the neighboring properties to review the common line setback. The common line setback doesn't apply in this situation for the riparian variance. However, it does allow staff to confirm that there wouldn't be any impacts on the neighbors from reducing the setback. And so staff is recommending approval of riparian variance 2018-383 to reduce the buffer to 85 feet from the ordinary high water mark of Eagle Creek, based on the findings of facts, conclusions of law, and suggested conditions of approval within the original staff report.
All right. Thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
Yes.
All right. I'll have you come on up here, state your name and address, and I will put you under oath like we did before. Your name, please.
Aaron Hansen, 11515 Eagle Creek Road.
All right. Mr. Hansen, would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you get today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Hansen, you are the property owner and the applicant in this matter, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, what would you like to tell me, sir?
So it's my understanding that we've got just a handful of open issues on this topic. First one being 1195-0301A, the equal treatment of property rights in comparison to neighbors, to paraphrase. Despite the ample evidence that we presented in our original application and testimony, you stated in your previous ruling that we had not met the burden of proof. We thought we did, the original staff report thought we did, but you ruled otherwise. So can you explain to me what?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
This is time for you to present your evidence and then I will make a decision and I will do my best to comply with Judge Allen's remand and provide reasons that she didn't quite understand and that maybe you didn't understand either, if I'm going to go that route again. I'm taking a brand new look at this matter.
And I appreciate that, and I'm trying to figure out what information to share with you. I'm not trying to challenge you, I apologize.
Okay.
I do feel like I'm aiming at an invisible target, not knowing what you're looking at, but I'll proceed. So that code talks about our right in equal to property rights of our neighbors. The Schlanger.
Well, I can tell you what I'm thinking about on
okay.
That's real easy. The property right is you have the right to use your property as a residential use. I thought that was pretty obvious. You already are using your property as a residential use. And so when I went through my original decision, apparently the court didn't understand this, but you're not being denied the right to use your property as a residential use. That is the property right in my mind that you are looking to preserve, and as I said in my decision, but what you want is a bigger house. And so you already have a property right to use your property as a residence. Just like everybody else in the neighborhood has the right to use their property as a residence. And I didn't convey that well enough to the court that was the protected property right that I was looking at. So, and I'm not sure what the judge thinks the property right should be, something different than a residential use. She, of course, didn't, which judges do a lot on remand, they don't tell you. They just say we don't agree with you, and you figure it out, Cock Camp, as to what why we don't agree with you. But that is how I was looking at the application the first time.
Okay.
So I don't know what I'm going to look at this time, but that just to let you know, that was the property right that I was thinking that you had the right to preserve.
Right. So as I understand the code, and I'm a lay person doing my best in the complicated system here. as I understand the code, the county code instills the property right to property owners to develop their property up to 35% of the area, square footage or acreage or whatever that may be. So that's a property right defined in the county code, the size of the development. Our property owners have been, our neighbors, have been allowed to develop that, their properties to a certain degree, to a certain size of house, based on that property right of 35%. As it stands now, we are not being granted the same property right to develop to that 35% benchmark set forth in the code. And so just having a residence, in our opinion, does not fulfill our property rights, specifically to that percentage of development that is defined in the code.
So it'd be your position then that every single piece of property in Chelan County that cannot meet or does not afforded a 35% coverage, lot coverage without a variance, they should all be just granted a variance, no matter what.
The code that we're in question, or the section of the code in question, specifically is comparing us to our neighborhood or our district. So no, I would not apply or say that my position is for the entire county. I would say that my position is that my neighbors on Eagle Creek, houses that I could see from my front porch, should be treated in the same way that I'm treated, and I should be treated in the same way that they are treated in terms of how much development is allowed on their property. And if the code restricts that, then a variance is justified.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep. Also set forth that the setbacks of property development is a property right that is defined in the code. And as the original staff report points out, our setbacks meet all of the requirements with the exception of the riparian zone. Given that setbacks are a property right defined in the code, our setback from Eula Creek should be equal to the property rights of our neighbor setbacks as well. Without the granting of a variance, our property rights are being infringed.
Okay.
The judges asked you to relook at this particular point and articulate your rationale a little bit more. You've already got the original staff report prepared by Maggie Bowles that concluded that the applicant's project is similar to the residential development on the surrounding properties, and the variance is necessary to preserve a right substantially the same as possessed by the owners within the same area and does not grant special privileges. So that's already in record. Do you have the site plan that was updated on March 3rd that has the common line setback on it?
I was sent everything from staff. I'm not gonna really take the time to go hunt it down right now unless you have something that you want to
look at. It's on me to make sure that you've got the evidence, so I'm trying to confirm.
Is that forwarded to me, Ms. Larson?
Yes, that was provided with the memo.
All right.
The site plan was?
Yeah, the one that was handwritten on by the architect.
It wasn't attached to the memo that I just sent, so that's why I wanted
Well, I just gave you the memo. I gave him the whole file.
So I don't know. I mean, I've got 12, 13 files here. I'm not sure which one I should be looking at to try to find this memo. I don't recall off the top seeing it. So
I will double check that.
Okay, I'll make sure I have that.
Okay, thank you. In early December, Kristen, on behalf of the county, contacted our architect, who also could not be here today due to self-quarantine. And requested information about neighboring setbacks. In response to that, I sent her data on the two properties to the south, or downstream, and the two properties upstream from us, stating that all four properties and all five structures, the setback on them are all less than our 80-foot request. Do you have that data that we provided to Kirsten, excuse me, in response to her request?
Do you know what he's talking about, Ms. Larson?
Yes, that was not provided.
Okay, so I will get that.
Okay. Included in that same email was the permit and site map for our neighbor immediately upstream, who is currently building a shop closer to the creek than our request. Do you have that as part of the record?
I don't know.
Nothing from that email was sent to you.
Okay, nothing from that entire email was sent to me.
So the record will not be closed until you have that information?
Correct.
Thank you. In order for you to respond to the judge and articulate it, is there any other data that you feel like you need from us or from the county to be able to respond to the judge's request?
I'm not going to offer if I think I need something or not. My job here is to just gather the evidence. It's up to the applicant to satisfy their burden of proof. And as I say to everyone, it's not my job to help one side or the other on one way or the other. If there's a deficiency as I'm going through here, that may be fatal, then I may ask to reopen the hearing, or I can do that on my own and for additional evidence to be submitted. But that's totally voluntary on my part. So it's the applicant's obligation just to present the evidence that they feel will support their request, in this case for a riparian variance.
Okay. We're happy to provide anything. Do you have any questions on this particular point before we move on?
I do not. How long do you anticipate your presentation to be?
I've got one more topic, and then I'll let Matt chime in if he's got anything to.
All right, because my computer's about to go. I got about 7%, so I think I'll plug it in just so that we don't. Have me go dark.
Yeah, not the right time to do that.
All right, please proceed.
All right. As Kirsten has stated on the record and in her memo, we did meet with the county on March 3rd to further discuss our application and the setbacks. During that meeting, we did provide additional evidence in the form of the site map that you either have or will get. That site map and Kirsten's memo state that the common line setback is 73 feet, so our neighbors are on either side of us are closer to the creek than we are requesting to be. Our application is for an 80-foot setback, significantly in favor of the riparian habitat in comparison to our neighbors. Kirsten's revised memo, or revised recommendation, her memo, has the county revising their recommendation for approval from 80 feet, which Maggie originally recommended with the original application and the original staff report, to 85 feet now. The public notice for this hearing erroneously listed the issue as an 86-foot setback.
Do you want this matter continued so that we can provide an additional notice?
I want to point out and clarify our position and our
okay.
Rationale.
Just want to make sure you had that opportunity.
I appreciate you recognizing that.
And we were worried about that.
Yeah, as long as the public doesn't complain, I think we're going to be safe. I apologize to Kirsten and the county. There clearly was some miscommunication when we walked out of the room on March 3rd. I was not under the impression that we were agreeing to an 85-foot setback. And I'm not trying to place the blame, I'm trying to take responsibility of I didn't understand what was being said there. The reason we are asking for an 80-foot setback and feel like an 85-foot setback is not adequate is twofold. The topography of our lot, the topography of the creek, in relationship to our building site, is at an angle. We have no anticipation that our project will move directly north towards the creek. But if we have, the engineering is not done for our project. And if the engineer comes back and says we need to make a few inch adjustment this way or that way, Kirsten's 85 foot setback only gives us an 8-inch wiggle room, whereas our 80-foot request gives us appropriate wiggle room. We're not trying to go any closer. We don't want to make any changes to our site plan as is, but we feel like a 5-foot buffer in that setback for our project is both reasonable and appropriate, especially given that both our neighbors are closer to the creek, including a brand new project that's under construction right now. The other reason why we feel like an 85-foot setback is appropriate is that we're talking about high rock watermark from the creek. The original measurements for our 85-foot and 8-inch building location was taken in 2018. This project is not going to be finished until 2022 at this point. We had a massive snow year last year. It's totally possible that the creek could shift a few inches one way or another, and within only an 8-inch wiggle room, Mother Nature could work against us. Kirsten's memo gave no explanation of why that change was made, and clearly that was a miscommunication during our face-to-face meeting, and I take responsibility for not recognizing that this was what we were talking about and outlining this directly with her at that time. But we would like the record to stand that we're requesting an 8-foot setback for those reasons. Do you have any questions on that?
No, no.
The other two issues that the judge has brought forth were around the hardship as a result of the application of the code. 1195031E, I believe. If the code didn't exist for the riparian setback, we would have no hardship. As we stated before.
No, I understand what you're saying.
And then finally, there's the issue around the non-conforming circumstances. As the judge has pointed out, by the definition of the county code, our structure does not meet the definition of non-conforming structure. We don't believe that the limitations of a non-conforming circumstance should be placed in a situation.
Okay.
Like to, do you have any further questions for me before I offer Matt an opportunity?
Nope.
Matt, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on a couple of points.
I'm gonna need to have you identify yourself for the record.
Matt, can you identify yourself? Can you hear us, Matt?
I can hear you, but I think we've got wires crossed there, so I didn't hear what you said that last time.
I'd like you to identify yourself for the record, please.
Matt Hitchcock, appearing on behalf of the applicants, Aaron and Rachel Hansen.
All right, thank you. Please proceed.
I'd like to touch on two points. As far as setting the setback at 80 feet or 85 feet, as the county has recommended, pursuant to Chelan County Code 1178-130, the county has the ability to administratively modify the riparian buffer based on a common line setback that is 75% of the riparian buffer, or a greater amount. So that in this case, pursuant to the judge's order that the applicable setback is 100 feet, the furthest that we could go toward Eagle Creek would theoretically be 75 feet. However, we're not requesting that entire distance, as Mr. Hansen just pointed out. We would merely request to go to 85 feet. And what is the established common line setback based on the neighboring properties at, I think, 73.6 feet per the staff report. So we would not only stay behind the maximum proximity to Eagle Creek allowed by the code, but we would also stay well behind the existing structures of the neighboring properties. And that also speaks to the allowance of a right consistent with neighboring property owners, all of whom have constructed structures, according to the staff report, closer than the Hansen's proposal. And the second point on that, unless Mr. Hearing Examiner, unless you have a follow-up question for me, I'll move on to the non-conforming use analysis.
I don't have any questions for you.
Okay. The non-conforming use analysis, I think, as Mr. Hansen just pointed out, we don't have a clean fit with the definition of whether their property is conforming or non-conforming. What we have here is a situation that I think falls under a category of disputes that are resolvable through the principle of equitable estoppel. Mr. Hearing Examiner, if you'd like to take down the case site, I'm going to cite a case here. It's Engholm versus City of Bridgeport, 110 Wash App 1014, dated 2002. And that case outlines the five elements of equitable estoppel. And number one, it requires an admission, statement, or act inconsistent with a claim afterwards asserted. So in this instance, the Hansons submitted their variance application, and the home was constructed in 2005 pursuant to a building permit that established the setback from Eagle Creek as 100 feet. But prior to purchasing the home, as the court found in its order, November 2019, the court found that the county further advised them that the setback was 100 feet when they purchased the property in 2012. And then the second element is an action by another in reasonable reliance upon that act, statement, or omission. And here that action by the Hansons, in reliance on the county's statement that the applicable setback was 100 feet and the existing building permit was granted based on a 100-foot setback, the Hansons purchased the property and then commenced the project to remodel their home with the intention that they would be able to obtain a variance based on that 100-foot setback, not the 150-foot setback. And then third, there must be an injury to the relying party from allowing the first party to contradict or repudiate the prior act, statement, or omission. And what that injury suffered by the Hansons is that their intention to construct the home and the investment that they put into that, and in fact the purchase of this particular home, was based upon the belief and the statements of the county that led them down the path to believing that there was a 100-foot setback applicable. And then fourth, under the Engholm factors, it was necessary to avoid a manifest injustice. Now, manifest injustice is a term that is loosely defined, but it would mean a grave injustice or a grave unfairness. And in this case, because the Hansons' neighbors have all been allowed to construct homes closer, and because the Hansons have invested time and funds and effort toward this project based upon the reliance of based upon reliance upon the county's recommendations and the county's erroneous, as we discover now, erroneous advice, not granting the variance at this point would cause them to suffer a manifest injustice in that they would be precluded as the only party within the five home tract closest to their property, the two to the north and two to the south, from being allowed to construct within a reasonable distance of Eagle Creek. And then finally, the fifth element is that its application would not impair the exercise of government function. So as long as equitable estoppel does not impair the government from enforcing its regulations and rules, as long as the equitable estoppel does not impair the government from enforcing the setback as applicable in future developments along Eagle Creek, then we have a case for equitable estoppel. And in this case, number one, there's it's been conceded by all parties, and Mr. Hearing Examiner, in your initial findings of fact, you found that it would cause no injury to Eagle Creek. The court similarly found that it would cause no injury to Eagle Creek or the riparian habitat within Eagle Creek, and the county has agreed now that it will not cause any harm to construct in this area. And in light of the unique circumstances that we find ourselves in, and the fact that we don't have a clear definition of conforming or non-conforming use, we have to turn to common law, and the common law instructs us to apply the principle of equitable estoppel to the question of non-conforming use. So regardless of whether it is non-conforming or not non-conforming, I guess non-conforming or conforming, equitable estoppel would permit the Hansons to be granted this variance. Equitable estoppel would be applied to establish the common line setback prior to granting the variance at 100 feet, and then the hearing examiner and the county could grant the variance from 100 to 70 or 80 feet, as we've requested, up to 75, but we've only requested 80.
Mr. Hitchcock, do you have any authority that Chelan County has granted the hearing examiner the authority to render equitable relief, such as that is possessed by the Superior Court? Because I'm not aware of any authority that I have the right to grant equitable relief.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, I am off the top of my head. I did not research that question. I do not have an answer for you. However, that would be the path by which we would proceed if you decided not to grant the variance today. I think regardless of if we went another direction and avoided the equitable estoppel argument, I think we do have a finding by the court that the applicable setback is 100 feet. So we can begin there and avoid the question of whether the property is conforming or non-conforming, and just establish that the applicable setback riparian buffer is 100 feet from Eagle Creek based upon the Superior Court's order.
All right, thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
I'd be welcome to discuss any further issues with you, but I have no more argument to make.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Hitchcock. I hope you're feeling well.
I felt better, sir.
All right, good. Is there anything else from the applicant?
We're trying really hard to work with everybody to get everything covered here. If there's anything else that we need to do, please ask, and we will provide what we can.
All right. So that's all from the applicant?
Does my wife have anything she'd like to add?
Can I just consult with him for a second? Nothing more.
All right. Thank you very much. Nothing more from the applicant. I note for the record, I don't see any member of the public here to testify today. Is there anything further from staff? All right, nothing further from staff. Then what I'm going to do is I will close the public record portion of this hearing.
It's time. She's got documents she still needs to send you. Doesn't that mean you got to leave it open until you get those?
That's a good point. I will leave the record open until 5 p.m. today for you to email me over that the documents that Mr. Hansen had discussed that hadn't been sent to me. Those will be sent by 5 p.m. today with a copy to you. And then if you don't feel that everything's been provided, then you could request to reopen the hearing to provide whatever you don't think was provided that should have been provided. Otherwise, I'm going to close the record today at 5 o'clock. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Mr. Hitchcock, if you conduct any research and you find something that I don't think is out there, but that is there, that says the Chelan County Code has granted me the authority to grant equitable relief, I would be very interested to see that. But quite frankly, I don't think I have that authority. But if you find something and you want the record reopened, I'll certainly give you that opportunity as well. But there are strict time limits on reopening the record. So I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days of today, unless the record's reopened. This is not going to happen by the end of the week, so I will. It'll take a little bit more time, but I will get you a decision out as quickly as possible. And if it is in favor, hopefully you'll have some time this year to start things on your project. All right. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I'm now going to adjourn this March 18, 2020 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner, and thank you all for coming. This meeting is adjourned.